Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Austin, and, you know, what else can I say? The world keeps turning. We've got another episode. Kamala Harris is doing weird stuff out in the world. Business as usual. I'm pretty sure I saw a post indicating today that she actually came out in support of building some kind of wall on the border to remedy the illegal immigration problem that we're all obviously very aware of, which is just hilarious considering, you know, the things that were said. I'm not going to repeat any of them, but, you know, the things that were said about building a wall the last time around because the orange guy suggested it. In other news, you know, we are officially 2.5 weeks out from the trip to the Human Trafficking Awareness Range Day at Ben Franklin Range in Templeton, Pennsylvania. If you guys have been, you know, listening to the podcast for any amount of time, we talk about HTA a lot. It was a really cool bonding experience for us as kind of the crew here that work around the content and stuff for Prepared Mindset, but also just a really good opportunity to go and to learn from some people that we may not otherwise normally be able to interact with, like the crew from Orion Training Group, Joe Fasanella, who's been on the podcast. You guys might know him as like Gray Fighter. He's there. And our friends Dylan, Ruth, and Justin, they kind of put on this event. Dylan's really the one who put this all together a couple of years back, and it's just a great opportunity. We're doing things different this year. Lessons learned from the RV from hell that we experienced last year. We all kind of split up, and I don't think any of us are actually taking classes together. And if we are, it's like a single 4-hour block of time together. We're really spreading things out and doing things quite a bit different this year. If you guys are listening to this, I highly recommend you look it up on Instagram. Check that out. I say this not because I get a kickback, obviously, but because human trafficking is a really, really big deal. It's something that we should all band together to help fight. And this event is just one very, very small way that we can all, you know, contribute to that while having a really great time and networking with each other and learning how to do some really, really cool stuff. But like I said, we have another episode for you guys this week. I get to sit down. This is something that we don't talk about a lot here on this podcast, is homesteading and self-reliance of your home and household and family, right? We don't get a lot into the preparedness space when... Allow me to clarify. Preparedness in terms of homesteading, building for yourself, getting off the grid, like truly off the grid, not just talking about it. We're like, hey, we buy like some of our groceries, but then we grow everything else. Or, you know, like really, we're talking about self-reliance and things. I have the opportunity to sit down with Mark, or you guys will probably know his page. It's Modern Rural Civilian. And I've followed his content for a little bit, and it's absolutely crazy the amount of stuff that he just knows how to do or has figured out how to do with like water collection. And I saw content around building homes out in, I believe he's in the Iowa area or Idaho area. I'd have to confirm that with him, or we'll confirm it with him in the conversation, obviously, but building homes out of like hay bales and straw bales and using alternative materials to build well-insulated homes and stuff. It's fascinating how we can look at a lot of this stuff as a culture and as a society, right? Things that we would have been able to do for ourselves 100 or 150 years ago, we are now super reliant on others for us, whether that's a government entity or, you know, we don't know how to build structures anymore. The number of people that, you know, looked at the walls and stuff that I put up in my basement where I record and everything go, wow, I could never do that. And I'm like, man, yes, you could, because I'm not that smart and I figured it out. It just, you know, takes a little bit of effort, a little bit of money, and a lot of time and energy and passion. So this should be a really cool opportunity to ask some of these questions of somebody who's out there doing this stuff and succeeding in it, right? And you can see that with his content, but looking forward to be able to pick Mark's brain and ask some of the questions, figure out how he got started, because so many of us, I think, want to go down that path in life, right? We want to be an individual of greater self-reliance. We want to be people of greater personal accountability, but a lot of times it can be very difficult, right? Because we don't know where we don't always know where to start. It can seem like an insurmountable or an impossible task for us to go from something we know to be true and comfortable and normal and standard, right? Like I live in a suburb surrounded by hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands of, you know, tract housing homes and things, to I'm going to move out to a very rural, very isolated area. I am going to depend on myself and my spouse and my family, and we are going to make this work, that no fail attitude. So it should be really, really cool, you guys. Before I get, over to my conversation with Mark, I want to talk about a couple things, you guys. First, if you're a Patreon patron, appreciate you. Did drop another video on there today, so if you guys are looking for more content from us, I'm going to work on upping our tempo on there. Been looking at some of the analytics, some of the feedback and things like that, like more posts, so blogs, targets, drills, video posts. Today was a video going through my range box. May not be glamorous, but it's about 10 minutes, for just me. It's going through and answering some questions that people have around, well, what do you take to the range? Why do you take it there? What's good to have? I don't know. You know, people who are stepping in, I have a couple of friends that are stepping into this, I'll say lifestyle, right, for the very first time, and they're trying to build out their range box. They're trying to understand what they need to take with them so that they can be effective and be capable in training. And that's something we talk about a lot, right, is we fall to our lowest level of discipline, our lowest level of training. Well, that's directly correlated to the level of training, which ties to your level of preparation in your training. So if you get to the range, flat range, or maybe you're doing small unit movement, whatever, like, and you don't have the proper supplies and tools and things that you need, you're not going to have a good training session. The output you get from that training, from that effort, right, is not going to be as strong, as robust, as beneficial as it could be. So things like that, really, really important stuff. And we got all that kind of crap and more out there on the Patreon, you guys. It's patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod. If you guys want to support us, or you can head on over to our link tree, you can get to it through there on Instagram. Give us a like, give us a follow. But in addition to our awesome Patreon supporters, you guys, we have some really, really awesome companies that take very good care of us, and we want to recommend to you because they're outstanding. They have great service. They have great folks working for them, and we cannot say enough nice things about them. So I want to say first a huge shout out to Custom Night Vision, you guys. If you're looking at getting into night vision, if you're thinking about getting into night vision, if you're dreaming about getting into night vision, I implore you, give the guys at Custom a call, send them a message through their Insight chat function that they have built into their webpage. You can give them an email if you want. You can even reach out to them over Instagram, but start the discussion. That's the first step. I think a lot of times people are actually very surprised to find how affordable they can get into a night vision unit. And it's an amazing, it's an incredible experience for one. So if you're looking for a way to get this past your wife, just borrow a friend's tubes and have her look at the stars. It's absolutely incredible. The website, by the way, is customnightvision.com. They are our largest supporter here at Prepared Mindset, and they take great, great care of us in addition to taking great care of all of their customers. So they just hooked up Josh. He actually sent in his PVS-14. He was able to work with them. They found a matching green XLSH Elbit tube for him, and they were actually able to swap him over into some RNVGs. So he was able to take that step from a single tube to a dual tube RNVG housing. Very durable, very robust, and affordable too, and in stock all the time. The AB Night Vision stuff is very durable, it's very reliable, and Custom Night Vision stocks all of that. In addition, they sent me out a set of the MH1s from Light Innovations. Had a little issue with it, but not to fear. As soon as I figured out there was a problem, I was already in contact with Ben, with Kevin over at Custom, got me in touch with the guys over at Lowlight Innovations, getting it squared away. Just amazing, amazing service. And guys, the prices are, I would say, almost, nothing's for certain, but almost impossible to beat. They're super, super competitively priced, and they have a great selection. So helmets from Team Wendy, mounts from Wilcox, lasers from, Steiner, B.E. Meyer, EOTech, and just a whole lot more, you guys. CustomNightVision.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things night vision. Also want to say thank you to HRT Tactical Gear, you guys. If you're looking for a plate carrier, if you're looking for a belt, if you're looking for mag pouches, a placard, all right, head on over to HRTTacticalGear.com and check out all the gear, all the kit they have in stock. Josh and I have been running their ARC belt for the last several months now. I think I'm at 10, maybe even 11 months almost. Once we get into September, I think it's 11 months with their ARC belt. which is adjustable rigid core. That's what it stands for. Belt system. It's very light, super rigid, and combined with the pouches from HRT, I think it's probably my favorite belt that I've ever used, which isn't a lot, but it's better than, like, you know, there's a couple single piece or one piece belts that I tried that I was very married to until I got to the Arc. The lightweight, the rigid nature, it spreads out all of that weight. You don't even know that you're wearing a belt. Zero back pain, honestly, and that's due to the incredibly just well thought out design. You guys head on over to hrttacticalgear.com, check it out for yourself, and pick up some gear today. Also want to say a very big thank you to 100 Concepts. Their website is 100concepts.com. I actually had the opportunity to, you know, catch up with Jonah from OHC this weekend. Very, very busy guy, and the company is very, very busy. They are doing some amazing things for those of us out here in the community looking for solutions to some common problems. So getting those scope caps so you kill the reflection on your LPVO or larger optic, your MPVO, right? Or getting a pro cap set up so you can actually have some kind of kill flash device over your scope. The light caps, right? The light caps, we don't even need to talk about it. Everybody knows what those are. They basically are what put 100 Concepts on the map. They're a great solution. They're super affordable. They just released a couple months back their ruggedized version. It's even more durable and quieter, because that was everybody's gripe, was, hey, this is really loud, but I love it. So they produced a rubberized one that is just as strong, just as effective, but quieter. The guys at 100 do great, great work, and they listen to their customer base. It's something that's so rare these days in companies. Garrett, Jonah, and Pierce, the whole crew there, they do a fantastic job with it. You guys head on over to 100concepts.com. Excuse me, geez. And lastly here, I want to say thank you to RMA Armor. You can check out all of their stuff at armadefense.com. So if you're concerned about the election coming up, or maybe you're somebody who's just, you're training up, right? Like, you find this stuff all very fascinating, just like me and Josh and our buddies and John, and you want to get some armor and you don't want to spend your 401k on it, cool. Head on over to armadefense.com. That's their website. You can use discount code PreparedMindset5 to save you 5% off your order, and you can pick up some plates. Whether you're looking for something super lightweight, like the level 3A plus plates that I'm wearing, those things are, they're 2.5 pounds a piece. They're multi-curved, so they're very, very comfortable. Or you're looking for maximum protection. You're totally yoked. You're a big gym dude, right? So you don't care about weight. You can get those 8-pound level 4 protection plates that they have, and anything in between, level 3, level 3 plus. All kinds of good stuff going on. These are American-made plates, and they are NIJ rated. You can rely on these folks. Outstanding product. Again, discount code PreparedMindset5 is going to save you 5% off your order. Head on over to armadefense.com today and check it all out for yourselves. So thank you to all of our sponsors. And as I was saying, my guest this week is Mark. You guys will probably know him best as the Modern Rural Civilian channel on Instagram. We're going to be getting into just all the things I talked about earlier, right? Homesteading, self-reliance, what that all means, how you get started, the transition, I'm sure, from civilian life out to, I don't even know what you would call this, but the lifestyle adjustment, right, that comes with making this drastic shift from, you know, complete reliance to total dependability. And it should be really, really insightful and just awesome, you guys. We don't get into this kind of stuff enough here, but it's something that, especially with the way we anticipate some things to go, or some people do, I guess, I don't think that we're going to see a total collapse of civilization, and that it doesn't even necessarily matter. These are the kinds of things that I think, more importantly, we as a society and as a culture are losing connection with, and it's skill sets that we should all be aware of and know how to employ for ourselves. So it should be a very, very cool conversation. I've been looking forward to this since I was able to make contact with Mark and get this on the schedule. So having said all of that, let's get over my discussion with Mark. Here we go, guys. Mark, man, welcome to the podcast, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Austin. How about yourself, man?
Not bad. Better than the last time we spoke. I'll throw this out there for the listeners. The last time we tried this a couple days ago, you had actually called me in advance and said, hey, we got a windstorm. Signal might be weird. I don't know. I might have some issues. And we're like, yeah, let's do it. It'll be fine. And then I, ironically, out here in like super, super suburban Southeast Michigan, ended up losing power. So, you know, had to reschedule, push some things around, but really, really happy to have you on, sir. And this is what we're going to get into today is stuff that I just don't spend enough time learning about, and I think a lot of people don't. So I think your experiences and your knowledge are going to be really, insightful for a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Austin. I love the episodes of the podcast that I've got a chance to listen to, and I'm just grateful that you had me on. I think the world of the tactical community and the preparedness and homesteading world seems to be blending together in the last couple of years a lot more than I would have ever dreamed it would have been. And it just tickles me because sort of all of all my passions mixed up into one melting pot. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
No, absolutely, man. And let's actually just start with an introduction. If you could just share a little bit about yourself with the listeners. I know you kind of, as cool as what you do with the or as cool as what you do with the Modern Rural Civilian Pages, you actually were in this community for a while beforehand, right?
Yes. Yeah. So my history is a kind of small town Idaho kid, born and raised in a neighboring town to where we bought our homestead property, little town called Orfino, Idaho. And after I sort of grew up and wanted to run as far away from my small town as I could and experience the world, I came back about 10 years later, and only to find that the global company Night Force Optics had set up shop in my small little town as their headquarters, their US-based headquarters and factory facility. So I really at that time wasn't into the precision shooting world like I wound up becoming. I really, I wanted to, I had a new appreciation for the small town area that I had been born and raised in. So I wanted to try to give it a go to be successful here. And honestly, they were about the best gig in town when it came to employment. So, really, sort of happenstance that I got to get in sort of on the ground floor with Night Force back when they were about, oh, between 30 and 40 employees. And with that, I've always had a real desire to sort of have some ownership in whatever it is that's consuming my life, some relatable passion. So in no time flat, I sort of began to research heavily and bought my first 5.5 to 22 power, long range Night Force scope. And yeah, began to sort of convert my old school Remington 700 hunting rifles into accurized, long range tools that I could learn the craft with. And yeah, from there it just sort of grew. They let me do whatever it was that I was willing to do when I started, but I eventually worked my way into a sort of a technical support role. So kind of went from the production floor in the downstairs of the facility to an upstairs office sort of job that also allowed me to travel really all over the globe and be trained and help train individuals on our product and just in the art of precision shooting at long distance. So, super grateful for that chapter of life. But that was in 2017, I decided that my creative bug and the growth of the company were kind of having a little bit of a split in the road. I've always desired to have a huge influence in the world that I'm involved in. And of course, there are sort of specific product development roles in a company like that at that growth level. And so my creative bug took over. I decided I wanted to do my own thing. I wound up resigning after nearly 10 years with them and moving on to self-employment world. So since then, modern rural civilian has been invented, and I have let's see, in 2000 the year 2021, my lady and I, we had a home in a neighboring town from here called Lewiston, Idaho. Pretty, nice average single level residential home. I had just built a brand new shop, and she sort of had a private medical practice in a street facing building that was also part of our property. So at that time we kind of had this cool thing going. I had my shop where I was building stuff, and she had her office where she was helping patients, and in the middle was our home. And I got to give all the props to her when it happened, and everybody around the world or around the country was kind of stirred up to refind a more comfortable place to be and live. The real estate market here in Idaho went just bonkers, probably no different than maybe where you're at too, all over the
Yep.
country, I suppose.
Oh
But
yeah, through the roof. Yeah.
it was crazy. Homes were selling for double or triple what they were worth two years prior, and selling with cash offers in a matter of a week or a matter of a number of days. So I just can't take credit for the initiating thought that we should consider we're young and dumb enough to sell all this and go buy acreage out in the country and start over fresh. But that was my lady's idea, and of course it was always our dream to live without neighbors out in the country and have acreage. But probably just like a lot of young people our age and in our generations, you hate to give up on your dreams, but sometimes it just feels further and further out of reach and out of touch, and you sort of just are making the best of what you have. So lo and behold, yeah, we made the big leap to sell pretty much all of our belongings. We kept what we could that would fit in about like a 20-foot shipping container, mostly just tools and things that I knew we would need to rebuild a property and a farm from the scr you know from scratch. But we sold our home contingent on an offer that we put in on this acreage, and we had a 48-hour overlap to get out of our old place and onto this land
That
where we
is
had
not a lot of
it.
time.
No, it was wild. We were just willing to do whatever it took at that point once we committed to and began to dream about having acreage and having our own homestead property that we got to build our dreams out on. But it was hectic, and it was it was 48 hours of craziness. We had till midnight the night of to leave the keys and get out, and we loaded up the motor home, loaded up the animals. We had chickens and a couple of goats even in town. It was 2 days of craziness, and then all of a sudden here we are on this acreage where we bought it for cash. Thank God that was within our realm of selling our old place, and it allowed us to do that. But the only amenities that we had out here were was a we had a power pole on the property. No sort of dropped access to power, but like easily accessible through the power company to get power hooked up and have power access. But we had no power other than a power pole, and we had the knowledge of a running spring on the property, so we knew we had water, survival water. So from there it's just all kind of a snowball effect, man. I've been working my ass off. I've sort of vowed to not really hire anybody through this journey and just learn and take on these projects and all of this infrastructure development and building a homestead from the ground up on my own, which
And
oftentimes
that's the
people
thing that I
have.
think we've lost in the last, I'll say 100 years, or it's probably close to like 150, but like as a culture, and it's not even here in just in the US, but like I mean, and I think I would, and most people I'm sure probably would align with me on saying this, is that what you're doing is like the extreme end of things. But I'm saying like just in general, the basic skills on like on running basic electrical and basic in-home electrical maintenance, basic home improvement work and woodworking, or I mean, you can even get into like some light masonry repair and things like that, like quickcrete in a 5 gallon bucket with your garden hose. Like none of that stuff is overly complicated or complex, but It seems like you can easily look back to, like, we're in 2024, you look back to the 90s and you're like, wow, things are sure different. And then look back another 50 years to the 19, 40s, 1950s, and it's like, wow, we've really fallen. And it's just it, and a lot of this stuff, I think, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on your own ex and your experiences, obviously, but a lot of it, I think, is just the lack of confidence, or maybe even just the fear of failure. Like, people are just not willing to give it a shot. Like, hey, I want to remodel my basement, but I'm not a contractor. I'll just give it a shot and see how it goes. And if I get, a couple weeks into this and it's a disaster, then I'll just, throw in the white flag. I did
Absolutely.
it. Yeah, I made it work. Not the electrical. I had to call my neighbor. He's a retired electrician, and there's a certain safety threshold even I won't violate. But it's those are a lot of the stuff, like, on your content has been lately around, like, the water piece of it and stuff, and even just running PVC, or PEX, or any kind of piping. Like, it's not overly complicated in most regards. They're, but like, but. We don't do that as a culture right now, and as people, we just we'll call somebody. It's always just easier to pay someone rather than trying to learn how to do that for ourselves.
It's quite common, and mine, our experience didn't really come out of oftentimes it didn't really come out of the choice to do it. It was really the knowledge of what the difference in cost was to have somebody do it versus actually the cost of materials to begin to do the things on my own. And
Yeah.
I guess I didn't grow up, we were average middle class. We weren't, we definitely didn't have an excess of money, and my dad was always fixing things and making it work. And so, I kind of got that sort of pretty well-rounded, just semi-rural upbringing. And I guess I don't know where I accepted the challenge so drastically, because at this point I'm just so all in to, and I gotta say this, man, of any of the time frames in history that a person could be, as long as you've got the passion to want to fix this shit and to build your own dream,
Yeah.
I hate to give, social media and the internet too much credit, but man, I personally wouldn't be where I'm at with the success through hard work and even failures on this property without having, instant information at my hands all the time. I take a lot of pride in my sort of obsession with research when it comes to, like I said, these are all passionate interests for me now that we're vested and we're on the land, and there's no turning back. And so, yeah, just I got to give credit where credit is due. If Google fell out of the sky tomorrow and was never, and YouTube was never an option, I wouldn't be near as successful as I am. I hope I'm bringing a lot of that knowledge with me on the long haul, but we live in the best day and age in history to be able to just attack something with just excitement and passion and be successful at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the weirdest inverse relationship. Like, again, 150 years ago, I mean, borderline minimal access, right? And then there's just this greater desire because, what are scenarios or situations or circumstances, right? Like, the house has to get fixed or whatever. And now, as we have gotten that, just that at our fingertips, right? And not just one, there's multiple sources for information. You can go online, you can YouTube, you can search for articles, Instagram pages like yours, right? And now we're at the point where people have so little desire to seek out some of these skill sets to invest in themselves, because it, and so, and we see it a lot in the tactical community, right? I'll say that, I'll own that as a part of that community, is like, guys are, we're really quick to swipe the credit card. Like, ooh, I just need a new plate carrier, need a better rifle. I'll check out that holster, right? Like, oh, you know what's gonna make me better? A different optic. You know what's gonna make my draw faster? A longer grip. And it's like, no, actually, maybe just, like, learning those skill sets and refining those skill sets and practicing, like invest in yourself, not in a ton of, I mean, the gear helps, but not in the way
Oh,
people think.
sure. No, I'm as much of a I love modern technology. I just have this affinity for old ways of thinking and the simplest ways that things were achieved in our history as a as humans in the last couple hundred years. So part of when I came up with modern rural civilian, that was sort of one of the ties in was just modern technologies combined with old world thinking to achieve sort of new heights of success with old school methods being employed, and the water system, the gravity fed water system, the root cellars, the all of these things that operate off grid or without any sort of electricity as they did 100 years ago, but with a small twist of whatever it may be, foam board insulation or these new products and technologies that we've got at our fingertips nowadays. I just think that we're in a great place to be able to build ourselves a very comfortable, self-sufficient life outside of the boundaries of what we've ever thought possible.
Yeah, we just I think people and I'm totally just as guilty as everyone else. So I hope anybody listening does not take it as like take it that way. But I mean, a lot of it is just the anxiety about taking, I think, that first step, like the uncertainty and everything. So with that, I mean, where did what was when you so you made the move, right? Like, hey, house is gone. We got 48 hours. Like, we're in it to win it. Where did you, how did you figure out where to start? Like, I mean, you've got this blank canvas, so to speak, right? And you know, you have a power line, not easily accessible, but you have power some, you know, out there, and you have some water somewhere. How did you figure out where to start?
Well, so I won't go into it too much, but I glossed over a chapter of my life from like 2017 when I left the tactical world to 2021, and I started a business where I rescued. I've always been into old vintage things, so I got in. I started a just a solo business on my own of rescuing old. You'll probably chuckle at this, but old 50s and 60s model Airstream travel trailers. They're sort of a unique, solid aluminum spaceship looking, and with that business, I thought I was just going to be restoring those old pieces of history or Americana, and what it turned into was, I had a real knack for finding them out in the country and then knocking on doors and making a fair deal with the previous owners, rescuing them and then rehoming them to restoration shops, mostly in Southern California. From our area, that's sort of a huge restoration and that sort of a lifestyle cult that Airstreams have around them was very big in Southern California. So what wound up happening is I began to travel all over the country. So I built this like self-contained camper truck, and I didn't, I wanted to bring home as much income from it as I could. So I didn't really want to stay in hotels as I traveled around the country trying to find these things and then delivering them after I sold them. So I began to really research basically just like all of the amenities that you can fit into a vehicle, like a modern day overland vehicle or a modern day camper van, so to speak. And one of my hap I just got a I'll wrap it all together, but one of my happiest moments, actually both my lady and I, was the adventures that we got to go on cross country, just living out of the back of my old 60s Ford while I was doing this job that I created for myself. And so there was just this, there was kind of like an already there was sort of like a no fear kind of attitude to living with very little, because we loved being out on the road for like a month. Sometimes, I did some 60-day adventures through the southwest of the country. I would get a hotel every now and then, but just and I built this camper truck pretty comfortably, auxiliary power system, solar panel charging, alternator charging through the vehicle when I'm driving,
Oh, wow.
comfortable bed, all my tools. So really, I got to give credit to that little sort of chapter of life because it got me prepped for living a little bit more uncomfortably and being fine with it. So when we bought this property here in the country, we just had an we had bought an older, like a 24-foot motor home that we drove out here at midnight the night we had to give our keys up to the house and pulled it into the axe, you know, the one of the access roads that was already built into the property. And yeah, went to sleep happier than I could ever really put into words, knowing that we were starting a brand new life adventure and that we were fully committed. And yeah, once we woke up the next day, we literally just grabbed the weed whackers that we had brought with us and began sort of clearing in a radius around the area that we had parked and figuring out what we had and what we could do with it. And like I said, the water was already here. There was an older developed mountain spring water source that we had to live off of immediately. And I really even underestimated the value of knowing that that spring water was here. You know, everybody knows in theory you got to have water, and I love the phrase, and I've used it on my content a lot, but literally water is life. And without water, you just have Schitt's Creek. I mean, there's a lot of
Oh,
cool
yeah.
properties that you could buy out there, but if you don't have the money to drill a well immediately, or you don't have some sort of a potable water source that you can develop on the property, there's a lot of people that throw in the towel on their dream because after 6 months or even a year of hauling water, thinking, "Oh, I can just do this; it'll be all right." It's not. It's such a chore and such a hard way of living if you don't have some sort of a water source on the land. So, I really think we kind of started to work with the water that we had fairly immediately. We knew we wanted to, you know, we had a pretty decent garden back in town, and we've always loved the healthier side of trying to feed ourselves and provide for ourselves that way. So, you know, it was Heather, my lady that I keep mentioning, her dream to have, you know, a giant garden out here. And with that, we needed the water. With that, we needed, you know, we've got goats and we've got chickens, and we just want to expand on all of it. So I'm trying to think back specifically of what we, it was so overgrown when we first got here that we really just started to try to beautify it and open up like the view that I knew was hiding behind all of this jungle of
Oh, yeah.
trees and everything. So a big part of it was just, you know, trying to prune the giant out of control wet trees and basically just kind of getting your juices flowing for what it is that you have found. And once we got some land clear, and not cleared, you know, completely, very selectively cleared, you definitely get some, like I said, you get your juices flowing about what it is that you have, and then ideas start to form. Oh, like we can
Sure.
picture a barn here, we can picture a pasture here. Big thanks to my dad. My dad and I are super tight, good friends. He's a hardworking dude, and he at the time he owned a giant Caterpillar D7 dozer. It was an
Oh,
old,
yeah,
like an,
right on.
you know, yeah, like an old model from the late 60s. So nothing fancy and nothing worth, you know, worth a ton of money. But we talked him into some of my relatives. They brought it out here to our property for us, and then he rewind a little bit. We live on a fairly steep mountainside slope, not a lot of flat ground, and not a lot of Yeah, just not your typical piece of land that you might see people hunting on out in the YouTube world. We had to sort of create a lot of terraces throughout the property to try to
Yeah.
maximize flat usable areas for ourselves. And
Sure.
once again, huge thanks to my dad for the equipment, because without that giant piece of earth moving equipment, it would have been years of, you know, I mean, we wouldn't have been able to accomplish what we eventually did within just about a year of sort of rearranging the earth and getting it opened up and restructured in a way that we could imagine, all right, this is where the goats, you know, this is where the pasture is going to be. This is this will be the garden area. This will be the orchard area. But we really didn't. We didn't have a huge idea of what the plan was to begin with. We've really worked, and I want to say this to all the audience that might be dreaming about doing this, but we really worked with what we found. And I think that people maybe try to go into these things having too much of a pre-carved out plan as to how it's going to go and what they're going to focus on. I didn't know anything about gravity fed water. I didn't know anything about ram pumps. I didn't know anything about everything that I've sort of based our life around at this point has just been discovering the what do you want to call it? Like the resource that we already had available once we got here on the land, and then researching what's the most what's the smartest way we can use this to create sustainability here on the property. So
Yeah, and
it's been
I saw
beautiful.
some of the posts around, like, even I think it was the fence you're working on. Like, even having the big machinery
Yeah.
sometimes is like, it doesn't mean you're gonna knock stuff out overnight. Like, nothing is
No.
a guarantee. I was actually kind of blown away that the tip of that, I think the auger, right, was like
Yeah,
bending
yeah.
from
Oh.
trying to dig those fence post holes.
It's wild, man. I catch a lot of shit from, you know, in the comments section from folks that have this idea about what homesteading means or what the thought of off-grid living means. And to be clear, I don't claim that we're off-grid. I just don't have the largest amount of faith in the infrastructure of the grid network. So we've got grid power here, but when you begin to develop a property in this day and age, and you've got the right thoughts in the back of your mind, you sort of come to a crossroads. Like, okay, do we want to do this the traditional way that completely depends on grid power and the fragileness of that system, or do we want to look at alternatives and build this in a way that we can potentially be comfortable through any sort of blip in the radar, or you know, or in the road, and my mentality always lands on the sidelines of, oh man, I gotta have some sort of an off-grid backup. It's just the way I think at this point, and where I'm at in my journey. I don't even the water system. I initially thought of the ram pump as being sort of the off-grid backup to our water system, and it's already transitioned to realizing, gosh, if we're not like careless with our water usage, the off-grid part of the water system can be the mainstay of our water system, and the grid power, you know, high powered submersible pump system that we also have built into the water system can actually be the emergency plan if we have a fire or if we have so long story short, I've just transitioned from thinking I want off-grid backups to now, I kind of think like I want grid-powered backups that put some insurance in place for the off-grid systems, maybe not just keeping up.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful struggle, man. I love learning about all this stuff and testing myself really and testing the information that's out there.
Yeah, I mean, if the fact that you're able to do that, A, from just that perspective is incredible. Like, a lot of people look at it and the assumption is always that grid power, because it's what we're built off of in most of the
Right.
country, right? It's just that's it. Like, you can't do any better than that. You can't do any different than that unless you've got, shitloads of money or resources or whatever. And I mean, to an extent, yes, depending where you live, like, where
Right.
I'm at, very suburban. I don't even want to know what the struggles I would go through to get like solar panels on my roof. Like, the city would
Oh,
probably
sure.
kill me. But
Right.
having things like a generator are, at least some creature comforts and things, and sustainability can be added into your life. I mean, gardening, you mentioned the gardening, that's a huge, and I think I saw a post on that too. Like, you guys do a lot of like canning, and then you're able to like sell
Yes.
some of the excess. And it's crazy. Everybody I know that gardens, for people listening, if you think this is a
Yes.
dumb idea, every person I know that has a garden that they actually put any ounce of effort into, every time I see them, like, you guys want peppers? You want tomatoes? We have more than we can. I did 16
Yeah.
of, spaghetti sauce, and I'm good for the next, year or whatever. Like, do you guys want to, like, there is so
Yeah.
much you can produce. It is wild how much
It's
you can
absolute.
do. Yeah.
It's incredible. And the, produce food production and food preservation, one of the first prioritized projects that we completed on the property after we sort of got the land cleared and rearranged was an underground root cellar where we could store, store our garden harvest throughout the cold winter months, in order to enjoy all of these root vegetables and canned goods without the need for some sort of refrigeration or pantry storage, which we don't yet have. And root cellars, man, root cellars are an incredible 100-year-old staple that is making its way back into modern society, using the earth as an insulating blanket over all of your garden harvest. So, we've done great, man, but we've really sort of just taken a bite at a time because, of course, we started the garden right away, and then we're still living in RVs right now. And I wish I'm finally getting sick of saying that. There initially it's fun, and it's an outside life. You wake up and you get straight to work outside, and we have coffee outside every morning. Which we get a tendency to be cooped up way more than we of the property. And I got to admit, my overzealous attitude and my just I'm always biting off more than I can chew with my own two hands when it comes to the work involved. So everything that I have going humbles me and knocks me back down to, down to reality when it comes to how long a project actually takes and how much work it actually involves. So no regrets and no turning back, but 3 years is enough. Next spring we have extremely high hopes and a big goal of beginning building our actual home on the land here. So yeah, that'll be that'll be such a next level feeling to actually have a fireplace and a sort of a small, it's not going to be extravagant, but sort of a small living space that we can lounge in again and hang out and enjoy the foul weather from the insides of the window,
Yeah. I mean, and that's just an incredible, I have to imagine an incredible feeling and opportunity, like, to just completely go through the whole from like 0 to 1 process of like building. I mean, because it's, I mean, there's lots of people, right, we'll sit here and say, like, I love my house. Oh, my house is great. I love my yard, like, whatever. And it's cool. Like, I don't hate my home, but it's like, I feel like there's something just different when you get to that level, when you're able to say, this is my home, because you made it your home. Not because, I mean, with so much of this, and not to get too philosophical with it, but it's like, well, you just purchased a house. There's a lot of work and effort and changes and tweaks and things that are made over years, right, to make something into a really into a home. But
Right.
a lot of times not at the level like where it's that depth of like just like real ownership, like you made it yourself.
It's really incredible, and you're absolutely right. Some of the gratification that comes from this lifestyle and the work and the completed jobs here on the property, I have a tendency to get tunnel vision and just be so happy about the actual completion of a project, and I begin to forget that when this project's complete, it literally can flip a switch that changes the whole quality of our life. And when those moments happen, like when we flipped, I say flip a switch metaphorically, but when we finished our water system and filled our entire water distribution system that flows throughout our whole usable acreage area, it literally changed our life overnight. So those projects that and then I try to describe this to people. It's a beautiful thing, and it's hard to put into words, but I call it sort of a circle of life gratification. But when you create a sustain, and not sustaining in the point, I say, so when you create a like a water source from water that leaks out of the rocks in the mountain to something that is piped to your house, and I'm a goofball, man. When I grew up, I didn't think twice about this shit. I just went to the faucet and turned the, turn opened it up and wasted. I was never horrible, but I definitely didn't know what it might take to develop a water system to the point of, oh, I found this leaking out of the earth, to now I can see this taking care of generations of my family down the road when I'm long gone. And the really like the life connection and the enjoyment that comes out of sort of that thought and that realization is really hard to put into words, but it's something to try to help the listeners understand, because I never saw that coming and realized that you would feel like, you could imagine yourself being a dude, an old timer 100 years ago that finally got running water on his property, and the joy and the smile and the life changing situation that that brought to their farm. And now, yeah, I've lived that firsthand, and it's absolutely livable. I didn't realize that that was part of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
It's something I mean, we take a lot of things for granted, and I guess that's I'll say the value, but that's, modern technology. We take it for granted. Like it is such
Absolutely.
an ever-present standard, and
Yep.
regardless of most people's, I will say standard of living or quality of life or whatever term anybody wants to put on it, right? Like middle class, impoverished, well off, right? Like running water, we've pretty much established as a standard. We take it for granted, and until, right, and this is maybe one of those things that people gloss over when they're like, ideating on getting off the grid or just or moving, and I
Yep.
get it. There's a lot of allure to it, but I mean, I think the level of thinking and understanding that you really need, and this isn't to dissuade anybody from it, but just to point
Oh,
out, like,
no.
it's a very different lifestyle. I think that it comes with its own sets of challenges, but also its own set of rewards, right? That,
Sure.
that you just, I mean, different lives, and it's not for everyone. I get that, but,
Right.
I think that there's a lot you can learn about yourself doing stuff like this. I mean, like just by putting yourself through the challenge, and it doesn't have to be on a grand scale. It could be something small around the house. If you're somebody who is not mechanically inclined, right? Just try, just go for it. And even if it's something that's very basic and whatever, like go for those small wins. And it's almost like build some confidence. You'd be surprised how much you
Yeah.
can actually do and things like that.
No, I completely agree, and I like to tell people at this stage of the game, it's a lot. I don't have these end of the world sort of doomsday fantasies ever. I hope the world world is perfectly stable for all of us in our comfortable homes as
Yes.
long as life exists.
Would love that.
But yeah, but I also in the off-grid world, you know, you get some far out people that do this for crazier reasons. But I just think that I tell people all the time, it's fun to experiment and push yourself when you have the comfort of the backups right now to be able to, you know, I get to learn and explore all these alternative methods and still, you know, if needed, go recharge my battery system by plugging it into the power pole. No big deal. You know, you learn a lot about, just like you said, you learn a lot about yourself through all these challenges, and the displacement of normal season life become a real gift. Like, honestly, I don't want to you know, scare off too many listeners, but we, you know, we've had an outhouse for the last couple of years. You know, it's cold as fuck when in the winter, you know, whether it's the middle of the night or the or 100 degrees in the summertime. There's been adjustments to be made. You know, for a long time we had an outdoor shower that sort of hung from the tree. You know, propane instant camp water heater kind of a situation. But all of those things, they bring you closer to the land that you're living on, and they also bring you closer to the potential that you have to put up with things that you've been spoiled out of in modern day life. And I believe in this day and age, those are all super advantageous things to be challenged with. There's no, yeah, I it's just character building in my experience. And like I said,
Yeah.
I get to chuckle about relating my life to some old timers that I've met, you know, throughout my short-lived life, and the quirkiness about them, and some of the sayings and some of the thoughts that they would share with me. I sort of get it now, and I don't want to give it back. I love it. I wouldn't back any of the comforts that we had for the really core gratifying moments of these wins, that you did this on your own and that you can now live this way, in a way that you may have been a little scared of 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean it's the opportunity now while things are still, like you said, stable, right? This can all be done out of pure passion and desire, and not necessarily from the not driven by necessity. Like I have to do this because if I
Yes.
don't, my family's gonna, die of thirst, or you know what I mean? Like it's a different
Right.
conversation. I think, take advantage while you can, but. Something you said, and I wanted to ask because I'm sh like I get these questions just based off the name of my damn podcast, but based off of
Yeah.
like content you create and then the stuff that you just how you live life, right? Do you get a lot of shit from people like as like a disaster prepper or like do people ask you if you're like saving up for end of times or something like what like so when you decided and started telling people you were like making this drastic life shift to like off-grid living. How did that go?
I don't, man. I'm so, I guess I'm super blessed that the content has told a story in a way that has been really, like, sort of grounded and innocent in a way that I don't have all the answers, and I make mistakes all the time, and I try to share those losses with all the people as much as I, you know, as much as I win. I screw up. I'm hard-headed. I'm hard to take advice outside of my own research and thinking. But you know, I luck out. I don't get a lot of the off the map, you know, doomsday prepper sort of feedback. You know, like, what are you doing? What are you going to do? But everybody wants to be nitpicky online, and you know, everybody wants to choke a hole in whatever positivity you're throwing out there based on the project or the materials. Or I've tried to grow a little bit more thicker skin, but just like anybody that's passionate about what they're doing, it's hard. You know, I want to fight back just as much as the next guy when it comes to somebody trying to throw shade on, you know, on what it is that I'm just trying to honestly and authentically help people to know more about and understand on a deeper level. So my family's all been amazing. You know, maybe they keep it under wraps and they talk about us at the dinner table when I'm not around, but in person, and mostly through the success of the platform, I sometimes get embarrassed that it's, you know, that it's grown so huge like it has, and when people catch me off guard about watching the videos and stuff like that, I'm super grateful for all of that. And like I said, I'm slowly and surely trying to turn it into a successful business so that I can sustain myself monetarily as well as through the land here on the property, because there's no denying all this shit is expensive. You know, whether you're buying the materials outright yourself and doing all the work, just the cost of materials to build a farm have, you know, just no different than groceries or anything else, man. We're all feeling the heat. It's not cheap. And so, I'm grateful for, all the positive feedback, but even my, you know, fanciest relatives and fanciest friends and everything, they still have great things to say in person about the journey and about what they're seeing, you know, through my content online. So I'm grateful for that, but I'm also open to the fact that I definitely could be the dinner table conversation that I'm not there for.
Well, I mean, but I think it's all interesting stuff. And like, and you talked about like materials and things. And one of the things that I found on your page that I thought was just absolutely wild. And I think this was a class you took. I don't think it was something you did on your own property, but it was something I had like in my mind that I definitely wanted to ask about was the building homes out of like straw bales or hay bales as an alternative building material. And you know, I you know, double clicked on that one a little bit, and I saw some people in the comments that were like, yeah, I'd never run electrical through that fire hazard much. And you know, and through one of the videos, I think you narrated, you said the guy he runs a business and he's like one of the top builder. I want to just comment back and like to your point, like sometimes you grin and bear it, you just move on, ignore people are being dumb. Like I don't think that somebody would have made a successful business out of this if you couldn't address things like electrical safety in a reasonable way. Like, I mean, come on, like what, go to Google. Why don't you look into this a little bit before you just, you know, but that's not the internet. You know, people don't do that. They'd rather just say something ignorant or opt against personal learning, or you know what I mean? How
No,
was
it's
that
true.
all coming together? Like how did that class go?
The class was incredible, and once again, all credit to my lady Heather. She always, prior to me even really understanding or knowing what straw bale construction was, she had a dream, to want to live in a straw bale home there. So I'm very tunnel vision with the projects I've already got on my plate and sort of focused on what I've got in hand. But I needed that deeper understanding from a builder's perspective, to sort of get passionate about it myself. And so it was a 4-day, hands-on seminar, and it's enlightening, man. What you realize is that a lot of these things that you might just hear rattled off by somebody online, they've got some true roots and some true history someplace. Like there's 100-year-old straw bale home still standing within the confines of the United States somewhere.
Wow.
A lot of these things are not, as new and new age as the internet would have you believe. And so once you start to weed through all of the assumptions that you might come up with, you realize, gosh, you know, this is like a widely accepting building, you know, technique in the Southwest. Like 18-inch thick hay bale walls that are then lime plaster coated on both the interior and out and exterior. You know, all of the, you know, the big one is fire hazard, you know, coming from the internet with that stuff. But, and I get it if you don't have any other knowledge other than just looking for low-hanging fruit to tear down on the internet. But all of it's pretty easily arguable, not even arguable, but defeatable when you literally get to the nuts and bolts of these techniques that have been used for a lot longer than we realize. And anyway, that was an awesome class. It happened to be just like, oh, like in a small little beautiful mountain town about 4 hours south of us here in Idaho. So, we didn't have to travel a long ways away from the homestead and in order to go and take that class. And life has sort of shifted since then. I don't know if we're going to wind up building a straw bale home for ourselves, just the way that nothing to do with the technique. It really has more to do with wanting to get out of these goddamn campers like quicker than quicker than I'm ready to afford that sort of a dream. But yeah, it's an amazing building technique. There's lots of building techniques that I discovered through posting that content. There's different types of there's just a lot of different alternative building techniques, and straw bale is an incredible one. You've got to stack all the straw bales in the heat of the summer. You've got to make sure that you don't get them, they need to be harvested in the field and kept dry up until the point that they're plastered on both sides and sealed in. But there's defeatable ways of weeding through all the all the negative comments that come about, just assumptions to alternative living scenarios like that on the internet. So
I was going to ask, like, if that was your guys' like game plan still to go that route, because it's tremendously fascinating. And again,
yeah.
one of those things that just because we don't, it is not the standard, right? It is not what we see every day with like brick and siding and, and
Yeah.
honestly, I'd be more intrigued or more willing to look into something like that, because I know just looking at how modern homes are built, and you see so many. I mean, all you gotta do is look, horror stories on contractors cutting corners and stuff like that. And even
Right.
just the size, if you look at those, I love those photos you find from like 1901, what a 2x4 was, to today, what a two
Oh,
by
yeah,
four is, where
right.
it's like, it's
Yeah.
actually like an inch and a quarter by, or whatever, inch and three quarters or whatever. And it's like, yeah,
Yeah.
and I'm like, yeah, great. So like, good luck with all the measurements. Like, you draw it up one size and everything else is actually. I mean, I'm intrigued by that kind of stuff, and I honestly don't understand why more people don't embrace that. I mean, maybe it's probably not an ideal technique, right, for someplace like here in Michigan, where
Right.
we do get pretty hot summers, but it's also very wet a lot of the
Yeah,
time too.
that was one of the sort of I can't say from experience from Michigan, but that was one of the side notes to straw bale building was some of the more rainforesty sort of climates and Western Washington, sort of Oregon coast, at least in my neck of the woods, it's a hard sell, and it defeats some of the advantages because of moisture content in the air and things like that. But I'm definitely not a pro. I'm much, much more educated on it now. And just a couple side notes on the advantages of it. Like I started to mention, in the end, you've got 18-inch thick walls that are plastered on both sides, and the insulation value alone of an 18-inch organic material wall, they are so efficient. Like they're unbelievably. Once you do all the hard work to get the structure built, and stacking the bales is sort of the easy part, but then the plastering is extremely hands-on. You're moving tons of mixing tons of plaster and then hand applying all this plaster to the exterior and interior of the structure. Once that all that work's done, it's one of the most efficient operating structures that I've come across. Like you'll hear of things called earth ships that are kind of a big hit in the Southwest, and they've been around since, gosh, I think since the 50s or 60s. They're sort of a halfway underground, south facing. Incorporates a greenhouse into the southern exposure wall, very self-sustaining livable structure. But straw bale's right on the heels of all that when it comes to efficient ways to build, so much different than fiberglass 2x4 walls and fiberglass insulated 2x4
Right. Yeah.
walls and sort of things that have a pretty preconceived expiration date on them, so I'm open to all of it. I love I've always loved thinking outside the box, and I sometimes get a little bit too bullheaded about I don't want to do it the way everybody's doing it sort of attitude. But I live with it, and it gets me places I wouldn't otherwise experience. So I'm down with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the cool part. I mean, once you kind of, I think, have taken the steps, right? You get outside of that, out of the box, right? Outside the normal confines of like standardized thinking, I think, it does open up a lot more options. Not, I mean, you got to do your research, right? Understanding limitations too. And that's some of the things like, I've had a couple, guests on that talked a little bit about things like, I cannot now. I can, of course, can't think of the term, but like looking at land, right?
Oh
Like
yeah.
you're going to buy
Oh
land,
yeah.
understanding the vegetation and what and everything. Like, is this really a good place to build or not? And so
Yes.
you can broaden your horizons as much as you want. Everything's going to come with its own set of detractors. And I think, and you made a really good point earlier, right? Like, that's not a bad thing. You just have to kind of, I don't want to say adjust expectations because everyone thinks that that's like a negative thing, but build
Yeah.
within the opportunity that you have. Like, maybe it's less ideal for the kind of home you wanted or something, but maybe you could find something different that you end up liking more. Or, I mean, or maybe you avert a very poor financial decision and go find a piece of land that makes a lot more sense for the way you want to live life and all those things. Like,
Absolutely. No,
push yourself to do more and to think broader.
when you are I'll just say, when we bought this land, we were a couple things I would give as advice for people that are, I get messages all the time asking, how did you find land with water? And God, so envious of this water system when it comes to. But it wasn't part of our plan. We were just, for one, we were only looking to relocate and buy property within a couple hour radius of where we were already living. So that in itself, huge advantage to the available property and feel them out personally. I think so many people in this day and age are trying to move cross country to a brand new state where they know no one and have never been. And they're approaching me with questions in that, coming from that sort of standpoint. And it's so hard to, I always want to help everybody, but it's so hard to advise, because our situation, all I can speak from is my experience. In our situation, we went out and drove to a lot of properties that we found listed, and nothing really felt right until we walked this property. And it's no different than when you're home shopping residentially, or you just kind of get a gut feeling about, like, wow, I could, this is it. But I didn't really have enough when buying structure in my brain to know what this is it actually meant. It was literally just kind of a naive, passionate feeling that came from the land that we were hiking around on. So I've learned a lot since then. I try to help everybody, southern exposure, with some trees is a great combination. We don't have the best southern exposure here on our property, so having a giant, solar array on the hillside that could sustain us 12 months out of the year is just not an option for us. And I didn't really realize that till we were already here and learning, the nuts and bolts of what it is we can work with here on our ground. Luckily, we have a lot of free flow water and elevation change, and my alternative to that is going to be micro hydro electricity generation. The harnessing the energy from falling from water that you can pipe and flow downhill to spin, an alternator-like mechanism that can generate electricity off-grid. And so there's ways, but I didn't know that until we were here, and I didn't begin to work with what we had until I really got my hands dirty on realizing what we had. And I hope that's sort of everybody's experience, that they don't, I want to help people to understand what the high points would be to look for, but understand that you're going to find advantages and, like you said, detractors to every piece of property and all the different things that you can do with it. And until you're there and begin to let your brainstorming, out of the bag, you can't have it all planned out. You can't, a lot of.
Yeah, you end up like pigeonholing yourself into certain things when you approach these larger projects that way. Like, have an idea, like, to your point, right? But don't be so married to it that you miss out on, like, I feel like, 'cause I've done that with projects before where I get to the end of it, I'm like, damn it, it would have been really cool if I would have done this, but I never, I was so focused on having it be, this one thing, you miss out on other opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah, you just I just whether it's been just a blessing for us or just the reality of making this life change, we have found so many advantages with the land that we felt good about, not knowing what those advantages would later be. But I'm grateful every day. Water, I think, outbeats now I realize water is more stable than southern exposure could ever be. If you don't You can have all the solar and electricity in the world, but if you don't have the ability to feed your garden and grow your food and feed your animals and sustain your body without trucking in water all the time, I just don't I don't know how that looks, because I tell people all the time we find ourselves water rich, and I'm so grateful for that here on this property. Definitely not monetarily rich. We're no different than all of your audience, I'm sure. But with resources that we didn't know, didn't realize that we could maximize, we feel very blessed with what we found here.
No, definitely. It sounds like you guys ended up in a very good situation with a lot of good benefits. I mean, again, and we've talked about there were but detractors or cons to it, right? Drilling into a mountainside and some of that stuff. So it's all the. And this is with anything. And again, I'll say this is a cultural thing that I've noticed that I don't like, is just people are afraid of the journey, like the winds in the road and the ups and the downs. And it can be anything. It could be you want to be, like, I want to be a better shooter. And people get discouraged because it doesn't just happen, like, well, I mean, okay, that then you just you have the those are just opportunities to get better, or music, or I mean anything, right? Like, lean into personal growth. I think we've been so spoiled by the instant gratification of technology that when we do encounter those even like the small difficulties, it is something that we allow it to derail our entire life in some instances, right? Just because it's not a smooth road. And that's unfortunate. Oh, I got you back.
We're back. Sorry, I lost you there. Being vulnerable and being willing to look dumb and goofy all over again in areas of life that you just don't have the experience in, even if you tend to be successful in a lot of your passionate areas of life, it's a hard box to step out of, but it's such an amazing opportunity to work through those things. And I think it's good for your mental state just to be willing, not have pride overcome your ambition to want to learn something and give up on it right away because you're not as good at as you hoped or wished you are. And the shooting world is, we all need to take a step back and be willing to look more ridiculous and goofy as we learn through some of the lesser skilled crafts that we're hoping to master, because that's one thing that challenges me every day, is you have to get comfortable with losing in order to really win in the end. I'm bad about being good at certain things and focusing on those things and wanting to expand upon those things that I'm already good at, but it's hard to step outside of that box and become
Yeah.
super super vulnerable, you know, and but that takes to learn something new, and it's good for your mental state to go through that
I
learning
agree.
curve all the time.
I think we let our fear of outside perception drive that feeling a little too often, and that's just I'll tell people this. You don't have to put everything that you do on the internet if you're that afraid of that public perception. Just don't post it. I know the downside is then you can't get outside input from folks who may know better. But I'll also say, after I have been through this a number of different times with different elements and things, like people that have done it and been through it are not going to be the ones giving you shit. So the people that you're actually looking for their info and feedback, right, regardless of what it is, they're not, I mean, unless you're doing something like just completely ridiculous, they're not going to be the ones that are going to be giving you a hard time. They're going to be the ones going, yeah, hey, I've been there. I know that. Here, let me reach out and help this person. They also won't be the ones typically, right, jumping in the comment section being an asshole. They'll be the ones reaching out like privately, like, hey man, I pre you know I love the passion, but here you go, this is probably going to help you.
No, I've found that the world is ready for authentic vulnerability when it comes to life's challenges. You don't see enough of it. Everything online is so glossed and polished and perfect that people think that that's the big sale. But in my experience, I like to show the losses just the same. And I don't hope to lose ever, but I
Well, right,
definitely
yeah.
like to, you know, but I've grown comfortable showing people that I don't know how this is going to turn out, and I don't know what to expect. And I can just say from my personal experience and my feedback with my audience that they're ready for the world is ready for a more relatable person to try to learn from. They're like, I just think it falls into that category of the internet is so perfect in certain areas, you know, and it's such a fake perfectness that so yeah, I think we're ready for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you see influencers, and to a degree, I think we both fall into that category and by someone's definition somewhere, I'm sure. But like, you see that where it's like, oh, look at my lifestyle with my lavish, home and my cars and this. And it's like, okay, well, great. Like, but are those really yours? Like, do you rent them? What's your, I mean, it's just, and I think one of the sayings that I've tried to like look to and lean to a lot is it's, comparison is the thief of joy. And I think people want to just,
Absolutely.
they want to compare their situation and I'll say their status, whether it's like a skill or an ability or income or something. And they compare themselves to these people that they don't know, they've never met, they don't know, have any detail on, right, on the internet. And it's like, man, if you're happy with what you're doing, like, don't, I mean, obviously I'll never advocate for somebody to stop trying to move forward, but like, if you're happy, be happy. Like, it's okay. You don't have to have what the next person has. Like, and a lot of these people, celebrities and stuff, hey, they've got everything. And then they're all, they all got drug problems. They off themselves. Like it's not as perfect as it looks, I mean,
No. It's a facade in a lot of ways, and I definitely believe that we're not fooling anybody, you know, in the deep sort of heartfelt way that the world takes these things personally and thinks that they're not, you know, they're not living up to the online standard. I think that I hope everybody knows deep down that it's such a polished and fake world online in a big way. I mean, there's a lot of good content out there, and that's what I try to pride my channel in is authenticity and hard work and not really cheating anything, you know. It's easy to get discouraged if you fall victim to that comparison game.
yeah, it's probably the I would say probably the biggest detractor from all the great things, it just from a mental standpoint, like it impacts the most people. But one thing I did want to ask too, because we're kind of coming up to time and everything, is I actually came across your page because you were shared by our friends over at Orion Training Group, and I just wanted to hear the story
Oh
on how
yeah.
you ended up taking one of their classes and how that went.
Oh man, this is a perfect segue because boy did I look like an idiot. As I mentioned earlier in the episode, most of my professional shooting career, you'll call it, or training has been laying prone in the mud, shooting things, far, far and away, and all the science and tech that goes into that sort of avenue of shooting. So I knew when I, when I signed up for the Orion Training Group class that CQB was, I was always envious of people that could move and shoot and engage things with speed and accuracy offhand. And it's never anything that I was training at, or never anything that I was putting any focus into in the professional shooting sports world. So I knew I was going to be humbled when I, when I signed up and when I walked in, but it was incredibly humbling. I had to, I totally had to swallow any thoughts that I had that I knew my way around a weapons platform and language, signaling language, and small team CQB is the class that I took. But talk about a addictive and super extremely fun way of learning weapons training. I mean, day one versus day two was like an absolute night and day difference. I gotta stay humble about it. I told Heather that, well, they didn't give out most improved, but I think that I probably like was the goofball that kind of pulled himself together on day two, because I felt like a complete jackass on day one, trying my best to. It's just so much, the footwork, you get, God, there's just so many levels to it.
Yeah, I mean, people really, they want to poo-poo on the footwork, and it really, and Josh said this on the podcast before. He's like, I don't know why people are making fun of it. Like, I struggled in the first day just walking through a doorway. Like, it's there's a curve there, and you don't have to do. They tell you, I'm pretty sure they tell you, like in class, you don't have to do it this way, but you're probably going to have more luck if you do it this way, and it's true.
No, I it was an incredible class. I'm completely addicted. If I had a CQB, if I had a shoot house down the street from here, I would literally be making time, every week to be at it and to be training. The class was held in Spokane, Washington, which is about a good maybe 2 plus hours away from me.
That's not bad.
So it's it, no, it it could be way worse. And they do training every other Friday night, just kind of like drills training where you can come and so it's something that I want to try to incorporate into my schedule. I loved it. I just can't say enough about how just to sound wrong, but just like it's sort of empowering to learn the proper ways of entering a building and maneuvering like that with a weapon in hand. It's absolutely incredible. And big thanks to Jared, who was, the teacher at this class. It was just an incredible experience for me, and I'm addicted. I'll be taking as many CQB training courses as I can, but I had to be honest about it and tell you that I was just as lost as the biggest rookie in the world on day one, because it's a lot to take.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I'll get to see Jared in about 2.5 weeks. I'll be going to Pennsylvania for
Oh, awesome.
the HTA charity event there. And he's doing a two-man CQB class, so it'll be my third Orion Training Group class, but this one and
Awesome.
then my first one were at the charity event. So they're compressed.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask about it because I was like, I follow their stuff and I came across your page, which is obviously how we connected then. And it's just
Right.
funny, the avenues which some of these connections and networking, how it goes sometimes. And probably one of the things that people that follow your page assume that your life only follows into that narrow box of like, oh, his content is all about homesteading and preparedness, so that's all he must ever be intrigued by. And it's like, no, people do all kinds of crazy shit, man. You get to know somebody, ask a question, you'd be surprised.
Absolutely. No, I think it's a great world we're living in when all this stuff is starting to melt together and become more acceptable. They all tie together on the homestead, CQB a little bit less, but shooting and moving and defense of your property and weapons platform knowledge. Sort of our farm existence, so it's much more short range, and I'm up at all hours of the night, checking on what our guard dogs are going on. Usually predators that are trying to move in on our livestock, but it all falls hand in hand, man. And I'm just blessed to be sort of living my dream with all these different passions in life coming together in my real life. It's really incredible.
Yeah, no, it's something that most of us will never get to experience. So it's really, it's awesome. And I really appreciate you making the time to sit down and share, I mean, your stories, your trials, or tribulations, challenges, successes, the whole thing. Like, it's something I don't talk about enough on this podcast, but like, I'd love to have you back on in the future and get further into it and everything, man. Like, this has been outstanding.
Oh, yeah, Austin, I'm super grateful to have met you, especially through the small circles of that tactical world that we all exist in, and would absolutely love to join you again. We could get carried away in the weeds with all the details of different systems that have been developed and infrastructure here on the homestead property. But I enjoyed getting to visit with you, man.
Yeah, likewise, sir. We will definitely be in touch, and best of luck with everything out there, man.
Right on. You guys stay safe too. I'm glad you guys got the power back up and running and life's back to normal.
Yeah, that was an interesting day and a half there. That was for sure. But yeah, man, likewise, we'll be in touch. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk soon. So, wow. A lot, for one, let's just say so much information from Mark. And honestly, like, thank you so much to Mark for making the time and carving out that piece of his day to sit and talk with me on this. This is genuinely things like, I get questions on this stuff. I get people that message us and go, hey, why don't you talk more about it? And it's hard to find these people that are actually really invested in the homestead way of living. Now, there's tons of people that can ideate about it or talk about it in a theoretical way or maybe even a historical manner, right? And there's a lot of people that think they're doing it, but I would say I've yet to come across anybody that is doing it to the level and the extent to which Mark has. And if you guys are curious about this stuff, and I kind of hope you are, I would recommend checking out his Instagram page. It's at Modern Rural Civilian. You guys can reach out to him. He mentioned a lot of people, contact him with messages and things, but hopefully you guys pulled a lot of information out of that. And this is definitely worth the juice is definitely worth the squeeze. Like, to give you guys an idea what happened, like, Mark and I sat down for our conversation the first time, and literally 5-10 minutes and we lost power. And that's kind of just one of the risks when you run a podcast. I know we had some audio things, like we cut some stuff up in that discussion to try and piece it back together, because he's in very rural Idaho and I'm in very not rural Michigan, and he's 3 hours behind me. So for me, this is like just after work. For him, it's the middle of his damn day, and he's kind enough to sit down with me and let me pick his brain and tell us his story and everything. It definitely worth it here. I think this is just great information, and we talked about so much, and a lot of it was actual or actualized knowledge, I'll say, or material. But we also talked on some philosophical things. I really do think and it's hard, right? It's hard to really lean into it and embrace it. But I think as a society and as a culture, right, with some of the things we talked about, we have lost our confidence. We have lost, not in total, but I will say it speaking in generalities, right? We have lost these skills and the abilities and things that people like Mark are embracing and using in everyday life. Like, go out and make some mistakes. Go out and try to be more independent. Go out and be more accountable for your own way of life and way of living. I think, you know, we talked a lot about living on the grid and on the grid electricity. I mean, the system, you know, as an idea, right? The system that we all live on and depend on for the majority of life, you know, government run or government subsidized power and utilities and things like that. It's, we all have issues with them. And I think that while everyone's looking to the future of, I mean, literally looking to the future, hopefully hoping things are going to get better, right? But I think maybe, I think Mark has probably got it more right than the rest of us. Maybe look to the past, like look to the past to how things were when quality of life was, you know, while some people would argue that quality of life was worse in terms of like your creature comforts and your amenities, I would say quality of life, you know, when this kind of living was more standardized was better. I would honestly argue that. Now, I'm not saying that we can flip a switch and in 5 months I'll be doing that, but I am saying that it's worth looking into. I am saying that it's not crazy to want to live this way. I don't think it's crazy to want. I think it takes a lot of courage. I'll say that. Do I think I have that? I don't. You know, I might surprise myself. I don't know. But I don't know that I could do what Mark is doing and what he's doing, you know, with his family and things. And like, it takes a lot. You have to, there's things you have to account for, you know, and that in your regular day, you're not only just building out, you know, fences and infrastructure for water collection and things like that. You're also taking care of chickens and goats and your garden and things like that. There's a lot of, it's a work heavy lifestyle, but I mean, you can just tell from the way that Mark talks about it, like it's an incredibly rewarding way of living your life. And it's an experience like I imagine anyway, very few others. Where you get to, you are directly responsible for everything and you can forge everything with your own two hands. I mean, not literally, but you can make your own way of life and do it the way you want. So I'm just blown away, you know, hearing Mark's story, hearing about how he's done this and goes from, you know, basically a rather normal lifestyle, for lack of a better phrase, really, right? Like, hey, I had a job and a job that a lot of us would kill for, right? Working at Night Force Optics and everything, and was there for about a decade, and then just, hey, I need something different. And even before he got to the homesteading piece, you know, taking charge, letting his creative side come out and leading and living life, you know, in that manner and in that way. It's just, we don't do enough of that anymore. And I think it's something that if we were to as a culture embrace that, we would see more positive change than I think any of us could anticipate. But at any rate, big shout out to Mark. Huge thank you to him for coming on. Obviously, we're only as good as our guests, and we have, you know, just, I'm very fortunate to connect with just, you know, superb human beings like Mark and of course, like a lot, you know, our other guests and everything. But he was more than willing. We tried to wait out the power outage on on Tuesday to see if we could make it work, you know, then. And now we're recording on Thursday evening. He's super flexible, very accommodating, really, just really, you know, a big thank you and appreciate it. If you guys aren't following him, I really would. I say that about a lot of guests, but I mean, you will probably actually learn things that are directly applicable to your daily life from his content, whether it's just how to do some basic plumbing or something, or maybe you're somebody who lives in a more rural area and you're wanting to do more off-grid, you know, improvements to your quality of life and your personal home and things. You will actually learn stuff. Not that, you know, we talk a lot about CQB and other stuff, and that's great. And I personally love it, right? We even had to make sure we talked about it in this episode, obviously, with Mark attending the Orion Training Group class. But you guys check out his page, give him a follow. I'm sure you guys will find it all interesting. And thank you all for listening this far, you guys. We really, really appreciate it. Hopefully that these episodes, these discussions, we do work hard to try and make sure we're bringing a nice mix, a nice variety of content and information out with these discussions. And I appreciate you sticking around this long, if you have, right, to listen and allow me to finish my thoughts on this episode. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys. Your subscribership, your loyalty, your following, it means a hell of a lot to me and the team here. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hope you guys got something great out of this. And that's all I have. I am going to pack it up here. I got to head out to go do my own weekly training at Battlefield CQB. So that's all I got for you folks. Have more coming next week. As always, you guys stay safe out there. Hope everybody enjoys the long holiday weekend we all have coming up. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.